So we invite them in. Okay, Ish Kodesh, who's learned the Sefer? Anyone learned the Sefer before? A little bit or a lot?
Parts of it.
Parts of it? Okay, so I don't even know what to say. It's an unbelievable Sefer. Okay, if you open up to the first page, really just the title page of the Sefer, where it says Sefer Ish Kodesh. Not the one that just says Sefer Ish Kodesh, the page after that. Sefer Ish Kodesh. Imros Tohoros. Beautiful, pure, and holy teachings. Mishnos HaShoah, from the years of the Holocaust. Tafshin, Tafshin Aleph, and Tafshin Beis. Right, 1940, although they really started in 1939. But by the Jewish calendar, you'll see the first piece in the Sefer is Rosh Hashanah from the year 1940, Tafshin, Rosh Hashanah of the year Tafshin, 1941 and 1942. Shenemru b'shabasos v'yam tovim b'ghetto Varsha. The amazing teacher, I mean, just try to picture the scene. And I brought along, not going to reference it so much today, but just so you should know that such a book exists. A lot of really amazing research, for lack of a better word, has been done in recent years. This is an amazing book by Dr. Henry Hill Abramson. He's a wonderful fellow, an amazing scholar, and just a sweet Jew. I had the schus to have a Shabbos meal with him one time in the Five Towns. And what he did is he wrote a book on the historical context of the Eish Kodesh to try to give us a little bit of a better understanding of, and there's a beautiful two-volume Hebrew work that came out also a couple of years ago, which I don't have yet, but Ashi's ordering it online right now. So get two copies, please, by Reiser. And what he did was he tried to explain a little bit the context of the Eish Kodesh. Meaning, we're talking about Jews who are sitting 1939, 1940, 41, 42. The Rebbe died. The Rebbe didn't die. The Rebbe was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, in 1943, in Cheshvan of 1943. And to try to contextualize a little bit the Torahs for us, what you'll see, which is amazing, is that the Rebbe doesn't talk about what's happening. He doesn't mention the Nazis, Yimach Shem. He doesn't mention the decrees and what was happening in the ghetto. He doesn't. There's a lot of that implied. And certainly as situations evolved, you know, Rebbe's language, you know, evolved. But he doesn't, he just uses the Torah as his lens to be able to try to explain to himself, to mechazik those around him, what's going on. But again, without letting the Nazis dictate the Torahs. I think that's a very chashuv thing. It's a very deep thing. There was another Rav who also, we have his drashos from the Holocaust, who spoke a lot about what was happening. Right? But the Eish Kodesh kim'at, you'll see maybe one time you'll find something where it seems like he's openly speaking. Again, everything is implicitly speaking, but openly speaking about what's going on, very, 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 very rare to find in his writings. Because the Torah is the Torah. The Torah is eternal. That's part of the way the Rebbe lived above the circumstances, which is an unbelievable thing. Okay, you can see the Rebbe's name on the page. Kavod Kedushas Adonenu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu Kadosh Yisrael Rosh L'Goylas Ariel. Obviously, you could tell that the Rebbe did not publish this himself. He never would have given himself so many titles. The story of how we even have this Sefer is unbelievable. It was buried when the Rebbe realized that time was running out. He buried it along with many other ksavim of his own writings and other writings from just some religious, some historical, collected together by a fellow named Emanuel Ringelbaum, who put together all of these writings in some type of milk canister, which is actually this canister you can see on the cover of this book, which is pretty amazing. That was the canister, and buried it under the Warsaw Ghetto. And it was discovered, I think, in 1950, by a Polish worker when they were digging in the Warsaw Ghetto to start rebuilding things there. And they found this, and we'll read his note that he put inside of how he encouraged what to do if you find my writings. They sat somewhere for 5 or 6 years, just in like an archive, until Israeli politician Baruch Duvdevani was on a trip, and an old Talmud of the Piazetzner begged him to look for the Rebbe's writings, which he believed were somewhere out there, and he found them, and he brought them there to Israel, and they were first published in 1960. Okay, the first time the Eish Kodesh was published was in 1960. The Rebbe had died in 19. It was killed in 1943. Okay, so it's an unbelievable Siyata Deshmaya that we have such a Sefer. It was the Rebbe's foresight, and it was obviously the Hashkachas Hashem that we should be able to find such a Sefer. Okay, you see the Rebbe's name, Klonimus Kalmish, or Klonimus Kalman. Ha'av Beisim Kadosh, V'Pia Zetzta. Right, the Heilige Tzaddik from Piazetza. The Piazetza Rebbe, the author of the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim. In the Rebbe's lifetime, they were unable to finish them. So they were also put in the milk canister. You could see that he is the son of Rav Elimelech of Grodzitsk. Rav Elimelech Grodzitsk. And he was the son-in-law of Rachmiel Moshe of Kuznets. Now, for those who were in the shir last year, we learned the Sefer Avodas Yisrael from the Kuznets or Magid. Okay, so let's just chart this out for half a second. What's the relationship? It's a beautiful continuation of what we learned last year, right? The Kuznets or Magid passed away in 1814. Piazetzner, we said, was killed in 1943. So what was the relationship? So it was his great-great-grandson. Okay? I'll give you the line. I made myself a little note over here. The Kuznets or Magid had a daughter whose name was Perel, Leah Perel. And Leah Perel had a son, Rav Chaim Meyer Yechiel Mimogelnitsa. He was known as the Seraph Mimogelnitsa. Very Heiligi Yid. That was the grandfather of the Piazetzner. His son was Rav Elimelech of Grodzitsk. And that was the father of the Piazetzner. Okay, so the Piazetzner is the great-great grandson of the Kuznets or Magid, of the Avodas Yisrael, who we learned last year. And the Avodas Yisrael, from the other side, his wife was also a descendant of the Piazetzner's Rebbetzin, was also a descendant of the Avodas Yisrael, which is why you can see his father-in-law is described to you as Rav Yerachmiel Moshe of Kuznets. Okay, so really, in both in terms of his wife and in terms of himself, he was a direct descendant from the world of the Kuznets or Magid. And that's something that, again, we'll be able to taste a little bit in his writings. Okay, let's turn the page. Hi, Abby. We're honored to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rabbi Penner. Okay, if you turn a couple of pages. So first you see here there's a Hakdama to the original edition that was printed in 1960. Okay, we're not going to read that inside right now, but again, it's a little bit, it tells the story of how the writings were discovered in 1956. You can see on the page after that, the page that looks like this, you can see over here at the bottom, it says, Alatov Yizacher, Baruch Duvdevani, those who've been to Duvdevani Street in Eretz Yisrael. When you stand there, you'll think of our Rebbe, the Ish Kodesh, because if not for his efforts, he himself was a descendant of the Rebbe Melech of Lezhensk, Baruch Duvdevani. But he was a person who worked at the behest of the Talmidim of the Piazetzner, who survived, to recover the Ksavim. And he did, and printed them, which is unbelievable. Okay, you turn to the next page, you see the Ksav Yad of the Rebbe. You see the Rebbe's actual writings. And this is the letter that he put in the milk canister. It was written in Yiddish, but it's also, on the opposite page, it's translated into Hebrew. Okay, so let's read that second paragraph on this page, and see what the Rebbe's request to those who find this Ksavim, if they find this Ksavim. Okay, he says here, Be'ezes Hashem, Hareini mischabed laharshos la'atzmi. Everyone see where we are? Okay, if you're not sure, please ask. Hareini mischabed laharshos la'atzmi. I give myself permission to make the following, request. Levakish me'ez ha'adon ha'nichba. To ask of the distinguished individual, O ha'mosad ha'nichba, or the distinguished organization, sheyimsu asaksava ma'ela. I have the audacity, I take the honor, as the Rav of Warsaw, I beg of you, I ask of you, if you find these writings, which writings? Hacharas Avreichim, that was his sefer. Hacharas means like the preparation of an Avreich means like a young married man, guidance for young men, a bit older. Mavo HaSha'arim, which is sort of an introductory work to Kabbalah. Tzav Zeruz, which we were zochet to learn here in Yeshiva a couple of years ago, which is sort of the Rebbe's diary, almost his personal reflections, which are unbelievable. And the volume that we're holding in our hand, which the Rebbe called, look what he called it, Chidushei Torah al Parshios HaTorah Min Hashanim Tafshin, Tafshin Aleph, and Tafshin Beis. And Chidushei Torah, he didn't name the Sefer Eish Kodesh, right? But obviously the people who published it named it Eish Kodesh because Aleph, the Rebbe himself, was a halig of fire. He was a holy fire. Mamish, an unbelievable fire of Torah, of Avoda, of Kedusha. Obviously, Kodesh also implies that this is a fire of holiness, Keneged, those who died, right? Al Kiddush Hashem. the Kedoshim, who died al Kiddush Hashem. And there's other explanations they give as well. Right? They talk about that maybe the Eish stands for Elimelech, it's his father, his son, who also died al Kiddush Hashem. All right, we'll see. We'll have to figure out. But he himself, he called them Chidushei Torah. My writings, my Torah insights from these years. So I beg of the person who finds this litroach b'tovam l'sholchem l'eretz Yisrael. Al pi aksoives haba'a harav Yeshaya Shapiro Tel Aviv. If you find it, do me a favor, trouble yourself to send them to Eretz Yisrael and just like write on the envelope, you know, on the package, these volumes, these documents, please make sure they go to Yeshaya Shapiro, Rav Yeshaya Shapiro, who's in Tel Aviv. You know, ask around, you'll find him. In Palestine, Palestina. In Palestine. Amazing. Rav Yeshaya Shapiro was the older brother of the Rebbe. Came to Eretz Yisrael when he was in his 20s. Brought over his wife, and I think he had one child at the time, a bit later. He passed away in 1945 in Eretz Yisrael. He's known as the Admor HaChalutz, fierce lover of Eretz Yisrael, a distiller of the Torah of Rav Kook. His picture is in the corner of our shiur. Beautiful picture. We got to get it back up top. Magnificent picture of Rav Kook. So my brother who was zocha to get out and to go to Eretz Yisrael long ago, please, if you find these writings, go through the trouble of getting it to him. And to include, right, to put this note in along with the package. If I should be so fortunate enough to survive with those Jews who will remain after the war, please return these writings to the Warsaw Rabbinate, Bishvil Kolonimus, and ask around for a Jew named Kolonimus. Unbelievable, no? Vashem Yerachim Aleinu She'eris Yisrael, Hashem should have mercy on us, the remnant who are still here. Dibachol Atar V'Atar, right? In each and every place. Right? Asar means a place, like we say in Kaddish. Right? The Morad Asra, the Rav of a town is called the Morad Asra, the Rabbi of the place. So Hashem should have mercy on Jews wherever they are. V'yatzileinu v'chayenu v'yoshienu k'arav ayin. And please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring salvation speedily and quickly. B'toida me'oimek halev kolonis. It's unbelievable. And you can see this next little writing, again is addressed to his brother Rav Yeshaya Shapiro, and to some of the Talmidim who are also in Eretz Yisrael, again encouraging the publication, the printing of all of the svar. Okay, so we have some really unbelievable things in our hands here to look at. Okay, again, you turn the page, you can see a little bit more of the Rebbe's Ksav Yad, which is quite awesome. The page after that, the page that says Askara, there's two pages of Askara. The Rebbe originally planned to, when he originally was published these writings or give them over, right, at that point his beloved mother had died. But by the time he was already putting them in the milster, his son, Elimelech ben Zion, had been killed, and his wife was no longer, and his daughter-in-law was no longer alive. So on the left-hand side, you see the original tribute to his mother, Chana Bracha. On the right-hand side, you see the name of Rachel Chaya Miriam, which was his Rebbetzin, Elimelech ben Zion, which was his son, Gittel, who was his daughter-in-law. So he updated, unfortunately, he had to update, you know, the Askara that he wanted to be printed with the Sefer to commemorate these Kedoshei Elyon, his family members. And you'll see how he speaks about his family members as that unfolds. Okay? All right, Chava, let's learn our first Torah together. Let's turn to page Kuf Dalet. It's from the year Shnas Tafshin. Parshas Kitetze. Okay, now I know Kitetze was this past Shabbos, but it's a good Torah for us to start with. Mir Tzashem, tomorrow we'll enter into the world of Kisavo. I want to just say, there's so much more to say about who the Rebbe was, and the best way to get to know him is by learning his Torah, but I want to just say one thing before we start, which I think is critically important for us. It's a very heavy sefer. It's a super intense sefer. Again, when we think for half a second about, you know, where it's being written and how it's being written and what's going on, it's understood that this is going to be a very heavy sefer. But two things. Number one, it's a very uplifting sefer. The Rebbe is not trying to you know, make sense so much of the suffering, but to be mechazek Jews who are suffering. To help them to have the strength to live another day, to want to live. And obviously you can see sometimes the Rebbe is a little, you know, more hopeful. Sometimes the Rebbe is speaking more, preparing people to dial Kiddush Hashem. Right? But the Rebbe was giving, these are Shalosh Shudas Torahs for the most part, that the Rebbe gave over to be mechazek Jews that they should want to live. V'charta b'chaim. That they should want to live. And he wanted to live. The Rebbe wanted to live. He had opportunities also to escape. He didn't want to abandon the people. But he wanted to live. He wanted to survive. Right? He felt an achrayus to his chassidim. He wasn't going to leave them. But he wanted fiercely to live. The second point, which is really the main point I want to make, when you're learning this, sometimes you feel guilty. Why do I say you feel guilty? Because when the Rebbe talks about pain and suffering, right, he's talking about people being murdered al Kiddush Hashem. He's talking about gas chambers. He's talking about concentration camps. And the Rebbe, when he's giving us, you know, he's being mechazik us to deal with the challenges of life, you feel guilty tapping into that. Because what right do I have to apply this to my struggles in preparing for the LSATs? Or what right do I have to apply this to the fact that I broke up with the girl I was dating? Or what right do I have to apply this to, you know, to the flat tire I got on the highway? But I really believe, can't prove it, but I really, really believe that if the Rebbe's Torah survived for us to learn, it's because the Rebbe is talking to us also. And we shouldn't feel that it's improper for us to get chizuk, right, from something which is, you know, we could always, but it's not the Holocaust. I'm not suffering like these people are suffering. We don't have to do that every time and say, you know, even though the Rebbe is really talking to people, right, we don't have to do that. Just let the Rebbe talk to you. Let the Pia Zetzin Rebbe talk to you and give you chizuk b'asher husham with whatever you're going through. I think that's what the Rebbe would want, and I think it's not only is it allowed, but it's appropriate for us to read it that way. Okay? All right, shall we? Shem Kol Yisrael. Together with on behalf of the Jewish people, here we go. Kiseitze lemilchama leivecha v'nasnu Hashem elokecha biyadecha v'shavisa shivya. The Rebbe quotes a pasuk. When you go out to war against your enemies, and Hashem delivers them into your hand, v'shavisa shivya, what's it talking about? What did we learn about this past Shabbos? Very strange sugya. Eish zifas tar. You see a beautiful woman on the battlefield, you capture, shavisa shivya, you capture a captive. And the Torah has this whole strange description, permission given to marry this non-Jewish woman, and the Torah is responding to the taiva of a soldier on the battle. It's a very strange sugi in and of itself. And you'll see the Rebbe takes us in a very, very different path in trying to understand even this one pasuk. Okay, but he begins by quoting from the Magid of Mezritch. And if this Torah sounds familiar to you, if this idea that we're about to see sounds familiar to you, it is familiar to you because we saw it in the Avodas Yisrael last year. Here, when he quotes the Magid, he's not talking about the Kashetzer Magid. He's talking about the Magid of Mezritch, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, so let's take a look. Ki isa me'arav ha-kadosh isha loki ha-magid ha-gadol zatzal. The Halig Magid of Mezritch explained a pasuk in Tehillim, Nishba Hashem v'lo yinachem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears, and he will not relent. He will not give up. Ata kohen la'olam. You are a priest forever. Al divrasi Malki Tzedek, by the words of Malki Tzedek, by the words of the Melech of righteousness. It's hard to even understand what David HaMelech is talking about in context, but we're going to very quickly take it out of context. Says the Magid of Mezritch, Shekoein hu bechinas chesed. Again, when you're learning Chassidus, everything can be understood in so many different layers and levels of interpretation. Kohen, the concept of a Kohen, is the concept of the midah of chesed, of kindness. Right? Kohanim are chesed, Levim are more connected to midas adin. If we understand that or don't understand it, that's okay right now. We'll take the Rebbe's word for it. Kohen, conceptually, is the concept of chesed. Kohanim are connected to chesed. Okay. So what does the pasuk say? Ata kohen la'olam. What does that mean? Ata kohen la'olam. Ata. Zos shiyachol isha yisraeli lomar la'Hashem baruch ata. That which a Jew is able to say to Hashem, baruch ata. How many times did you say baruch ata already today? A lot, no? 50? Say, if you said brachos, if you said shemona esrei, if you made a brach on your coffee, if you said an asher yatzar, how many times did you already say today, baruch ata, dot, dot, dot? So ata, do you ever think of what that means? You? You? Say you to God? You? Right now you're like, you're buddies with God? You? Hey, you? If you walk into the Beis Medrash, you go over to Rav Schechter, right? You're not going to say, I would like to ask you a question. You'll say, can I please speak to Rebbe? Do I have permission to address the Rosh Yeshiva? You speak in the third person. But to Hashem, it's always you. Baruch Atta, you. Atta, saying Atta, Kohen La'olam. What is Kohen? Kohen means Chesed. Atta Kohen La'olam. Saying you to Hashem is Kohen La'olam, is the biggest Chesed in the world. That Hashem gives us permission to be so direct with Him. Atta zos sheyachol isha yisraeli lomer la'Hashem baruch Atta. That which we're allowed to say Atta to Hashem, zeu chesed me Hashem. It's an unbelievable kindness from God. That Hashem lets us because Hashem wants to be intimately connected to us. Hashem doesn't want us to be strangers. Hashem doesn't want us to be so formal with Him. Hashem wants us to feel invited and to feel close. Ki Atta nocheach. Hu nistar. Atta is nocheach. Atta is direct. Atta is present. Second tense. Second person. Right? Hu is third person. Is nistar. Is concealed. Hu is removed. When I talk about he, right, as opposed to talking about you, the difference between talking in second person and third person. So atta is nocheach. It's direct. It's present tense. It's straight. Second person. And who is third person? U'kishetiknu lanu anchik neses hagadola lomar bebrachos v'tfilos la'Hashem b'lashon atta b'shemu malchus. Not only do we say atta, we put it in the context of a bracha. We say baruch atta Hashem. Right? So meaning like in a time where we're saying serious things, where we're taking God's name, at the same time where we're saying you. It's incorporated into our brachos and shemu. But obviously by doing so, Betach poelim b'diburim elu lasos hisgalos elukus ad sheyeh Hashem l'noichach lanu mamish. It must be that if the greatest rabbis, the Anshik Nasa Gedola, wove this into our tefillah, it's certain that through their efforts to establish tefillah as such, it must be that when I use it, when I activate this, it creates a revelation of Hashem, that Hashem is noichach lanu mamish. Hashem is mamish, present in front of us. When I say Atta, I have to picture myself Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir, standing in the presence of Hashem. I'm not shooting off a tefillah into outer space. I'm talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu right in front of my face. V'nucha be'emes lomar Atta, v'lotei bracha levatala chasechalila. It's not a bracha levatala. But I also have to be serious about what I'm saying, no? No, Jeremy? I have to be serious about what I'm saying. Meaning it is a bracha levatala if I don't mean it. If I don't feel like I'm talking to Hashem. If I don't see myself in the presence of Hashem, then maybe my words are a little bit in vain. Maybe I don't have a right to use it. I have permission to use it if I'm going to be real about it. If I want to have that type of connection to Hashem. Right? If I'm willing to say it in a real way. And now you're about to see why I'm starting with this Torah. Even though it's, you know, last week's Parsha. Right? And some would say maybe we should just learn the Sefer in order that the Rebbe gave it. We should learn it, you know, from a chronological standpoint. But there's a reason we're starting with this Torah. Look what he says. Next paragraph. V'zeh she'isa b'svarim kedoshim. She'kemo sha'tfila tzricha l'Torah. And those who learn Rabbi Nachman know that Rabbi Nachman speaks a lot about turning your Torah into tefillah, turning your tefillah into Torah. Right? When we learn an idea, we have to daven over it. And we have to daven over our learning and learn over our davening. Right? We have to learn up the sitter and we have to daven over our Gemara. So it says in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's an idea found in Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkun Chaf Aleph, that tefillah tzricha l'Torah, that tefillah requires Torah, kamo she'amara pasuk meisir ozno mishmoa Torah gam tefilaso toeva, that if I'm meisir ozno, if I remove my ear from listening to Torah, then gam tefilaso toeva, then what? Then my tefillah is going to be an abomination. My tefillah is going to be an abomination. If I don't learn, then don't come talk to me, Hashem says. If you reject my Torah, then don't try to then come davening for all sorts of things. It's not going to work like that. Kein gam ha-Torah tzricha l'tfila. Just like, you need to say it for a beard.
Yes, please.
Okay, it's all yours. Guys, don't forget to put your names in the front of your sefer. It's also important. We don't want you to have to buy a second one. So meisir ozno b'shmoa Torah gam tefilaso toeva. Again, if you turn your ear away from Torah, your tefillah will be rejected as well. So just like tefillah needs Torah, if you just daven but you don't learn, you're going to have a problem. Kein gam Torah tzricha tefillah. What are we doing together? What is Shir mostly about? So you'll say it's mostly about Torah, right? That's what a Shir is. We learn together, right? But it's also really important to find times to daven together. And even if we're not davening together, welcome. Even if we're not davening together all the time, right? We have to daven over what we're learning together. Torah needs tefillah, and tefillah needs Torah. We're on page Kuf Dalit. Shai, welcome.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Okay, so we need to turn our Torah into tefillah and our tefillah into Torah. We need both. We need to daven and we need to learn. Now, what does this have to do with the fact that we're able to talk to Hashem so directly, to say Ata to Hashem? When you learn Torah, when we're going to open up Maseches Makos, maybe today, probably tomorrow, when we open up, when we start to learn, when Hashem starts to talk to us through the Chumash or through the Gemara or through whatever it is we're learning, right? Is Hashem talking to me specifically, or is Hashem talking to Klal Yisrael? The answer is both, and it's a choice we have to make. I could let the Torah be the gift of the Jewish people, which is sweet, that's nice, it's true. I could also allow the Torah to speak to me. The same way that when I daven Shmona Esrei, even if I'm standing right next to David, I know that his Shmona Esrei, even though the words are similar, but it's a little bit different, because it's coming from a personal place. The same thing has to be when Hashem talks to us through Torah. That's what tzaddikim say. We talk to Hashem through tefillah, Hashem talks to us through Torah. It's a good teaching. We talk to Hashem through tefillah, Hashem talks to us through Torah. So the same way that I want to talk to Hashem straight, directly, I don't want just a general tefillah. I want it to be a personal tefillah. I want to say Ata to you, Hashem. So when I read the Torah, I also want the Torah to speak to me. When the Piyazet Rebbe is talking to Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto, I also want to be able to say he's also talking to Moshe Tzvi. He's talking to Jared. He's talking to Yekusiel. He's talking to Ezra. He's talking to us in a personal way. Yeah, John. Be controversial. Go for it. That's a good question. Right? A lot of people have that question. Right. You're saying from tefillah, right? Why is there a structured tefillah if it's supposed to be so personal? Yeah. A lot of people are bothered by that question. Right. So you're saying that the structured tefillah is a...
It's a kli.
You're saying that the Shmona Esrei is an outline. It's a kli. It's a vessel. That's a very good mashal. It's a vessel to hold our personal expressions, right? So meaning when you say, Ata chonin la'adam das, Hashem, I need wisdom. So you're asking for whatever it is that you need in terms of what you're trying to understand, right? And the words become the kli, become the vessel. But you're supposed to infuse it with your own personal expression. Right? But it's hard to drink the water if you don't have something to hold it in. So Chazal. So that's exactly that's the Rabbi's point, right? Bereishis bara Elokim to Jack Katz is different. It's supposed to be different, right? Then Bereishis bara Elokim to Jack Gerber, right? You're both Jack, and it's the same Bereishis bara Elokim, but it means something different to you. It's supposed to. Right? So Torah is supposed to be, that's what everybody's about to say, Torah is supposed to be personal, just like the Ata of Tefillah is supposed to be personal. Yeah, Rabbi Yosef Zahar.
I would say that we also do know that there are places in this Shmona Esrei where we can add.
For sure. No question about it. We can and should add even our own words or expressions to the text. Right? But certainly in terms of a feeling, And what I'm thinking when I say Baruch Ata, when I say you to Hashem, what does that you mean to me? Again, Chavra, this is what these days are about. HaMelech Basada, Chodesh El. The king wants to have a relationship with us. He's inviting us to interact with him personally, not just generally. Not just Hashem as some type of general God. Hashem wants to be my personal God. He wants the Torah to be a personal Torah. He wants my tefillah to be personal, heartfelt expressions. Yeah.
I feel like most brachot in general are
Right.
Like,
well, that's partially because we want to include ourselves with the Jewish people, right? Meaning, I don't when I'm asking for, you know, rifa'einu, even if I'm asking for my headache or the chola who I'm thinking about, I also want all people to be healed. Right? So there's a personal element, and then there's also kind of the collective element. But they're both really important to inject into the tefillah. But we're learning the key word, you know, more than anything. And by the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Avigdor Miller, I could show you other places where other tzaddikim throughout history all gave the same advice to people who wanted to work on tefillah or brachos: focus on the word ata. Think about the fact that you're saying ata. Think about what that means. What a bold thing it is to say ata to Hashem, to talk so straight to God. That's a very big chesed that Hashem allows us to do such a thing. Yeah. Right, Tzibor is always answered.
So if we include ourselves, or we use language of the Tzibor, then there's a good...
Right, gives it a boost.
Yeah.
Better chance it'll be answered. Yeah, that's true. But if you daven in Shmona Esrei, John, to go back to your basic question, if you daven in Shmona Esrei and it doesn't feel personal, that means you didn't do your part.
No, I'm not asking
you. Right? No, I'm not saying you, Chas v'Shalom. No, I'm just saying. I'm saying for any one of us, I apologize. I didn't mean you, Chas v'Shalom. When I daven Shmona Esrei and I finish and I feel like I didn't say anything, that's a problem. Because it's the words is, like Yigosil said, that's just the cup. You got to fill it up with your heart. Yeah, 100%, 1,000,000%. Yeah, Shai, let's hear one more.
It's still a big chesed that God lets us use the word ata, but if he doesn't, I feel like it's going to be harder for us to connect it. We've got to bring it down a little.
So that's part of the balance. Rav Shimon Schwab said an amazing thing. I learned this from my brother Rav Davidel, for those who know him, which is a lot of you guys. Rav Shimon Schwab says that why do we shuckle when we daven? You ever think about that? Why is this like the, you know, we do when we learn also, and we'll understand it better based on this Torah. But why is it, right, even more so than when we learn, even when we daven, immediately we start to sway. What is that? There's a lot of different explanations for that. Rav Schwab said something very deep. Rav Shimon Schwab said, because it reflects this struggle or this duality that we have in our relationship with Hashem. On the one hand, I'm racing forward. I want to draw close, but I'm scared to cross certain lines, so I pull back. But I want to be close to Hashem. But I want to have awe and respect. Avinu, you're my father. Malkeinu, but you're the king. You know. So the back and forth movement of a Jew in davening is really us kind of grappling with I don't know where that line is. On the one hand, Baruch Ata, but Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. You know, I zoom in and then I kind of zoom out, because I'm scared to cross that line. Okay, but that's what we're learning here. It's a delicate thing, but it's a schus that we should appreciate. Okay, so Torah needs tefillah, tefillah needs Torah. Ulefi hanizkar la'el, ki anu omrim baruch ata Hashem, hamalame Torah la'amo Yisrael. When we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melame, when we say in Birchas HaTorah that Hashem is the melame Torah la'amo Yisrael, that Hashem is the teacher of Torah for the Jewish people, Hainu la'am kulo. That's sort of a general, God teaches Torah to the people. Aval shi'alamed gam im kol ish prati. But if you want Hashem to be your chavrusa, v'yedaber el kol echad ve'echad, to receive that tzorach kol echad lif'ol zos, you have to make that a reality. You have to make that happen. The Torah is out there. You have to choose it. You have to choose to make it. You understand now why I'm starting the year with this Torah? Yes? Is it clear that I have to say it more openly? I think the Chevra gets it. You have to choose it. It's there. The Beis Medrash is there. The Chevra is here. Right? The Rebbeim are abundant and wise. There's plenty of people to learn from in this yeshiva. Right? But you have to choose to not just generically say that I go to YU, or even to say I go to this shiur, I'm part of this program or whatever. You have to show up, you know, ata, you, the full you. Uveresh vayikra, at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra el Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav me'ol moed lemor. Hashem calls out, speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Mishkan. Uperish Rashi kol lo kol elav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, v'yadaber Hashem elav, Hashem speaks to Moshe. And what does Rashi say? Who remembers the Rashi? Moshe Shama, V'chol Yisrael Lo Shma. Moshe heard, but the rest of the Jews didn't hear. How could it be that there's a voice in the world, and that one person hears it, and the person sitting right next to him doesn't hear it? How could that be? Because one person's really tapped in and listening, and the other person's not. So the voice of Hashem was coming out of the Ohel Moed, was coming out of the Mishkan, but Moshe was tapped in to hear it. Hainu Moshe Rabbeinu Shama Gam HaKol Lo Kol Elav. Moshe heard it in a way that was unique to Moshe. Gam B'Yichud U'Pratius Elav. In a personal way. In an intimate way. Yichud. In a way of singularity. V'chol Yisrael Afsha Hashem Malam Eri Mahem. And the rest of the Jewish people, of course, God was teaching them also. But Eino Lo Ve'Elav B'Pratius. But the Torah is revealing that Moshe was tapped in a different way. He wanted to hear it in a different way. Everyone else was Rak Malame Torah La'amo. The people were receiving the Torah from Hashem. La Klal Yisrael Kulo. Vitzarech Kol Echad. Here's our mission statement. Vitzarech Kol Echad Lifol. Shashem Yedaver Elav Gam B'Pratius Kanizkalel. If you want Hashem to be your personal God, you have to choose them. You have to make that. You have to work to make that your reality. No. So now the Rebbe says, how do you do that? How do you do that? I'm pitching it as make sure you show up for shiur every day and be committed to yourself and to the rest of the chevra here. Right? But how do you do that? Says the Rebbe two lines from the bottom. Ve'eich po'alim zos. How do you do this? Al yedei tefila. You have to daven. You have to daven. You have to really daven to be successful. Because you might say, yeah, of course, I'm excited. I'm going to master Maseches Makos this year. I'm going to learn Eish Kodesh cover to cover, and so many other things we're going to learn together, Meretz Hashem. You have to daven over it. And when you daven in a way that says, Ata, you, when I establish real connection with Hashem in a personal way, then the Torah speaks back to me in a personal way. Al yedei atfila, sha'omer Ata, upoel his galus elokus elav linoichach. Right? When you allow a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when you establish that revelation of Hashem to you directly, Oz Hashem midaber elav umalam de Torah bepratios gamkin, belashon ata, binocheach. Hashem speaks to you also directly. When you speak to Hashem in a real, direct and sincere way, Hashem speaks back to you in a straight, direct and sincere way. V'roa umasik, top of the next page. V'roa umasik kol echad chelek toraso. Then each person begins to, what does it mean to have a chelek? You ever think about it? We say it all the time. Talk about finding your chelek in Torah, my portion in Torah. What does that mean, your portion? You think you're the only one who has like the right to that pasuk? You know? As far as I know, they don't make NFTs of Torah yet, no? No? Imagine you have the copyright on Bereshis. Just the word Bereshis. Okay. We're not gonna we'll have that. That's more of a Gemara sigil. We'll make hakiras on ownership. Yeah? So what does it mean that my chelek in Torah? My chelek, right? Our chelek in Torah this year is Eish Kodesh. You think we're the only ones in the world learning Eish Kodesh? The only ones who've ever learned the Sefer? We're making it our own, though. How do you do that? What does it mean to have a chelek in Torah? Again, it means to listen to it in a personal way. Shashem midabre elavu malamdo she'ein zulaso masik. To understand it in a way that no one has ever understood it before. To absorb it in a way. Vizulaso masik mashuhu eino masik. And the person next to you will understand it in a way that you don't understand. Each person to absorb it in his own way. And he quotes from the person he was named after. Rav Kolonimish Kalmish Epstein, the Ma'or V'Shemesh. K'moshe Isa B'Sefer HaKadosh Ma'or V'Shemesh. Look at this. The Ma'or V'Shemesh explains on the Pasuk, Sod Hashem Lire'av. The secret of Hashem is for those who fear Him. Shalo Limud Kabbalah Lavad Hu Sod. What is Sod? What are Sodos? What are the secrets of Torah? So you'll say, Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, right? Secrets of Torah. The Ma'or V'Shemesh says, that's not a secret. The words Bereshis Bara Elokim, in their most simple shot explanation, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, it's all a Sod. Everything's a Sod. You know why it's a Sod? Not only because it could be understood in the deepest way. You know why it's a secret? Kevan Sheksuva B'Svarim V'Yecholim L'Lamda. Right? The Kabbalah is written in books. You can go learn it. You can go into a bookstore and go buy Kabbalah. It's not such a big secret if it's being sold on Amazon. So why is it called a secret? Look what he writes. Rak Hasagas Elokis Yisbarach Shekol Echad Masik. Your understanding of Hashem, the way that you understand it, Masha'ein Zulaso Masik, in a way that the other one cannot, the way that someone else cannot understand it. Right? This is what Rabbi Nachman talks about at the very beginning of Sichas Haran. the personal, the, I can't explain to you my relationship with Hashem. I can't put it into words. It's so personal. It's so private. And yes, we share it together, but it's also private. It's also personal. V'chol echad ma'ashem ma'asig me'alukusa yisbarach. Whatever it is that you retain and absorb from your connection to Hashem, eina yachol ahavin lizulaso. You can't explain that to someone else. I can't explain to you why I felt that way when I davened that Shmona Esrei. Or why I, you know, your friend comes back after the weekend, you're like, wow, you look a little different. You look a little like shiny, you know? I had unbelievable shots. Tell me about it. I can't put it into words. That's what he's talking about. That's a sod. That's a secret. I also had Shabbos. What do you mean you can't explain it? I know it's Shabbos. Tell me about Shabbos. I can't explain it. That's called Nikra Sod. That's called the Sod. A secret is not just certain areas of Torah. Everything is a Sod if you absorb it in a personal way. So when I dive in a real way, I open up that personal connection. When I stand opposite Hashem, and I speak to Hashem in the language of you, then Hashem speaks back to me in the language of Ata. What a beautiful idea. Hashem speaks to me in the way that I speak to him. Aval, I have 3 paragraphs to go. Aval sheyif alu diburenu asher b'lashon nechayach. But to really say that I'm speaking to God in second person, in a direct way, his galus elukus shel nechayach or nechach tzarich ha'ish hamedaber b'tfila lizgala mikodem b'diburei tfilaso. A person needs to what? If you want to reveal God through your davening, you first need to reveal yourself through your davening. Underline these next words. Hainu she'atzmuso yimtza b'hadiburim shel tfilaso. You see it? Hainu she'atzmuso yimtza b'hadiburim shel tfilaso. To put yourself, to put your atzmius, to put your essence into your tefillah. How can I have the audacity to say you to God if I don't even know how to say you to myself? If I don't have a real sense of self, so how can I try to get to know the essence of Hashem? To talk so directly to Hashem. I've never had a real conversation with myself. I don't even know what I want to do. If I don't have goals for myself, so how can I talk to Hashem? That's a serious thing. It's such a serious thing. I once saw a quote from the late Mashkiach from Lakewood, Rav Vachtvogel. He said a Jew could go out for 70 years of his life, an alter yid. He can go out every month by Kiddush Silvana, right? Like we do when we sanctify the new moon, and he can go Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. He could say by Kiddush Silvana Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom for 70 years of life. And Rav Vachtvogel said, but he's never once said Shalom Aleichem to himself. It's a deep idea. Did you ever give yourself a real Shalom Aleichem? Did you ever look yourself in the mirror and say, who am I and what do I want from life? What am I doing? Why am I here? I made a choice. Many of us are paying good money to come to Yeshiva University. Right? Why? Why? Why am I here? What's the point? What's the point? What's the tafkid? What's the tachlis? Right? If I can't put myself into the tefillah, then I'll never be able to really engage Hashem. But if I put myself into the tefillah, az kamayim ha'panim el panim, then like water reflects the face. When you see your image in the water, right? Pa'ol gam b'chinas hiskaluso yizbarach shehu noichacha. Then you'll be able to reveal the presence of Hashem directly opposite you. Va'afilu, now he starts to speak to his people. Va'afilu kishetfilaso shala'ish, hi mekiras libo al yedei tzararach manal etzlan. And maybe you'll say, you know why I'm davening in a serious way? Because I'm going through a lot of pain. I'm not such a good Jew. I'm just going through a really tough time. I have a tzar in my life. Whether it's what he's talking about or it's whatever I'm going through in my life. You know? I had a hard time finding a parking spot today when I got to the heights. Right? So I davened a little more. So does that mean I'm connected to God, or that means I'm just in trouble, so I'm desperate, so I'm crying out? But it's a little more real because I'm desperate. I often say my real davening in the morning is not the davening I do in shul. It's once I get on the George Washington Bridge, that's when I start to really... Because that's, you know, that's when I feel, sure, like everything's fine, everything's good. Once I'm on the bridge, like then it's like, Hashem, I need Rachmei Shemaim to get across, you know, one accident will throw off my whole day. That's when I, right? So is that more real or it's less real? Because I'm desperate. I'm desperate, but it's real. Mikol makom kevin shenafsho. Mishtapeches v'nimtzeis b'dibur tefila, since his heart, his soul, is being mishtapeches, is being poured out through that tefila. Kvar poel his galus shel noichach, gam ilav b'pratius. There's a sense of noichach. There's a sense of presence, of nocheach, of second tense, of second person, speaking directly, talking to Hashem in a direct way. So now we have one last step, and that's to connect it back to the pasuk that we started with. Ki teitze lemelchama alayvecha. When you go out to war against your enemies. What? What does that have to do with anything we learned? We learned such a beautiful Torah this morning. Torah, tefillah, atta, talking to Hashem directly, Hashem talking to you directly. Ki teitze lemelchama alayvecha. Chaver, in life, there's going to be struggles. It's unavoidable. Ki teitze lemelchama alayvecha. And if you'll tell me, what do you mean it is avoidable? I read Rashi. This is talking about maybe a milchemes reshus. This is an optional battle. Right? An optional battle means that sometimes you're going to get yourself into a battle that probably could have or should have been avoided, but lamaisa, you're going to end up getting into that battle. Right? We're all going to make mistakes that put us on a battlefield that we probably shouldn't have been on to begin with. We got engaged in some type of challenge or struggle that, had I made better choices then, I wouldn't be in the struggle now. So in a certain sense, it's a milchemes reshus. I take a chrayas for the choices I made. But lamaisa, I'm on the battlefield now, and I'm struggling. Afilu rak mishum milchama v'gam milchemes harashusi. Now, what he means by Milchamas Rishos is we never signed up to be attacked by the Nazis, is what he's really saying. Right? We didn't start up with them, they started up with us. We didn't choose this battle. Kind of got forced upon us. But since you're in a place of tsar, you're in a place of pain, of constriction, however, he's writing this from within the trappings of the Warsaw Ghetto. He's in a place of constriction. He's banned on Mitzar. He's trapped. Since you're feeling trapped, you're feeling stuck, you're feeling pain, and you cry out to Hashem from the depths of your heart, then Hashem will respond. But more than that, what does the pasuk say? A very beautiful chassidus shataych. V'nosnu Hashem elokecha biyadecha. You know what's going to be in your hand? You know what you're going to feel? In your hand means mamish. You have it. It's yours. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have Hashem, Elokecha, in the singular. Hashem is going to be your personal God. That's how Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem, Elokecha. Why did Hashem speak in the singular? Maybe because he's talking to the collective Klal Yisrael. But many Hasidish Sfarim say because Hashem was talking at Har Sinai, Hashem opened his mouth, Kiviyachol, and spoke to each person in their own way. Anochi Hashem, Elokecha. I am Hashem, your Lashon Yachid. Elokecha, your God. Singular. Zos yitin lecha Hashem shiye elokecha. This will make it that Hashem is your God. Bechinas elokus yiye shalecha bepratius. Your personal God. And then what's the end of the pasuk? Vishavisa shivyo. And you'll capture a captive. What does that have to do with anything? Here's the punchline. It's Chodesh Elul. It's Chodesh Elul. What do we want to do more than anything else? Well, we want to be close to Hashem. We want to return to Hashem. We want to be close to Hashem. Right? Again, not in some type of generic, collective way, but in a deep, personal way. Vishavisa shivyo. Ki Yisrael mevakshim. We ask Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Hashem, please bring us back to you. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Hashem, return us to you. Right? We want the Eilecha, like Moshe, Vayadaber Hashem Eilov. We want the personal. Shashem Yashiv Osanu Eilov. What does Hashem say back to us? We want Hashem to do all the heavy lifting. We want my chavrusa to push me. We want my Rebbe to wake me up in the morning. No, it's not how it works in real life, chavra. You gotta put your best foot forward. You have to make that commitment. We say, Hashem, pull us in. Hashem says, no. Hashem says, shuva elai, v'ashuva aleicha. Return to me, personal. Kenoda, as is well known. No, shuva elai, v'ashuva aleicha. You come to me. You say atta to me, and then I'll talk Torah back atta to you. Uvizgalus prati izu. Atta poel vishavisa shivyo. Shavisa shivyo doesn't mean you're going to capture a captive. What are you going to capture? What's going to be captured? Or what else is hinted to in the word vishavisa? Right, it's a lashon of tshuva. Then you'll be returned to Hashem. Like the captive who's held, you know, captured. What does it mean to be captured? Right, you can't move. You're going to be in Hashem. You're going to be locked into Hashem's embrace that you can never leave it. V'shavisa shiv yoshetoshuv mashu hu yizbarach tzarech leshuv haynu sheyashiv eschem elav. If you say, Hashem, I want to be close to you, V'nasnu Hashem Elokecha b'yadecha. You take Hashem, you, in your hand. Kiteitza l'milchama, because you're in pain and you cry out to Hashem in a real and a sincere way. That's the shofar. Right? We blow the shofar from the narrow end. Min ha-meitzar karasi ka. We call out to Hashem from a place of constriction. And wide on the other end, right? We're saying we're in a place of constriction. We don't even know what to say. We just scream out to Hashem. So then, v'shavisa shivya, Hashem says, you're mine. I'll capture you. Vashuv eilechem. I'll take you in. I'll drag you in, and I'll lock you in my embrace, and I'll never let you go. Okay? So, Chavah, this is the type of Torahs we're going to learn from. Amazing, no? It's unbelievable. Right? But again, it's a Torah that explicitly tells us we have to daven over this Torah, and we have to daven over every Tosos we learn in Makos, and every Ritva, and every Halacha that we learn. Every bit of Torah that you learn, you have to turn it into a tefillah. And you have to understand that if we're straight, if we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with each other, we're honest with Hashem, and we're open, and we're real, and we can say Ata, we can bring our real self, Hisgalus Atzmius, the revelation of self, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same for us. Okay? New Ashi and Negin, maybe? Anything. Something. First day of Shir. Medium fast. Something. Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha, Vilna Shuvuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Chadesh Yameinu, Chadesh Yameinu Ki Kedem. Hayashiveinu, Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha, Vilna Shuvuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Chadesh Yameinu, Chadesh Yameinu Ki Kedem. Hashiveinu Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Yameinu k'kedem. Hashiveinu Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Yameinu k'kedem. Shiveinu, shemelecha, shemelecha v'na shuva, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu ki kedem. Ay, shiveinu, shemelecha, shemelecha v'na shuva, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu, chadesh yameinu ki kedem. Oy, Hashiveinu, Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha, v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Yameinu ki kedem. Hashiveinu, Hashem Melecha, Hashem Melecha, v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu, Yameinu ki kedem.